How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Nerd Hour. It's Punchy and Cornax tonight because Ariel's got to be up at like 6 in the morning, pretty much. And let's face it, doing a radio show till 1 a.m. is not a good way to help have a good work day when you got to start at 7. Cornax? Oh, there you are. So again, I still got to get the Nerd Hour intro on this computer for when I actually am the one doing the stream. So there's that. Also, I decided to go with the Friday the 13th Part 3 theme because I feel that is one of the better intro themes for one of their movies.
It is a nice beat.
It is a nice beat there. Alright, we'll stop there. First off, victory is ours.
Yes, it is.
Brainstew Radio, Brainstew Radio's listeners, especially Butt Monkey, broke live from the morgue, and some of the moderators there. So there's that.
And then Jack found out, and I wonder how that happened.
I wonder, how could that have happened?
Someone must have told him something.
Someone's got to solve the mystery. Are you in their chat?
Me? Yeah. No, I got banned.
Oh, you got banned?
I wasn't even saying anything for a while.
You were Mario, right?
Yeah, I was. And I was not sexting back and forth with Roy Black on crack. That was a little Mac.
I know. I wasn't saying that was you.
No, that was Hammy that said it, though.
Oh.
Before.
Oh, yeah, no. Because he was saying that Mario was sexting when it was really little Mac.
Yeah, no.
So... Dude, that was gold, though.
Oh, wait. Did you see it? The new Nerd Hour photo. Ta-da! I'm finally on it.
I saw the not-so-big logo that you plopped on there. If you look at where would be the picture of Harvey Dent as far as what Bane's holding, there's Cornax's Twitter photo.
I was debating whether to put my own face or not, but I realized most people wouldn't recognize me.
But Monkey's calling all of us hot.
I'm a ram skull. How? I'm mildly confused.
Maybe he digs those sort of things, ram skulls. Ram skull.
He must have really loved that last week fan fiction.
No, Matt. Little Mac is not the WCW version of you. Little Mac... is the
Punch Out?
Yeah. Well, remember, Little Mac's like Harry Potter's age, so.
Holy shit!
Little Mac is the protagonist of Punch Out. Now we're gonna get going with the nerdy stuff. First off, I'm gonna gloat because my New York Comic Con badge came in the mail today, and it's quite nice. I've noticed that one thing they've changed this year is now there's a holographic type thing on the corner. Where if that thing gets peeled off, the badge is not valid. So I've got to be pretty careful with my badge during the week, which I usually am. It also shows the hours and different stuff, and I can sign up to a site and unlock special features. So there's that. I can't wait. There's going to be a Curse of Chucky panel.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. You know I'm going to that panel.
Yeah, I know.
That's pretty... Yeah, the panel's going to have Don Mancini... Brad Dourif, Fiona Dourif, Danielle Bassetti, and Jennifer Tilly.
Just try not to fanboy all over yourself.
Well, if Jennifer Tilly is showing cleavage, even at her age, it won't be fanboying that'll happen. It'll be something happening all over shorts. You know what? I'll get to that.
That's what fanboying, that's what I meant.
Yeah. You know what? I'll get to that. I'll get to what I was about to say when we talk about Curse of Chucky. But... the first thing on our list to talk about...
Can we talk about Liz Katz some more, though?
I think we can put something in there about Liz Katz. We'll talk about that later. Let's talk about the... let me just address this. Butt Monkey, Ariel has to work very early tomorrow. It's not an every Saturday thing. It's just that it's for that one day, she's got to be there at 7 in the morning. So she has to, you know... That's like I was going to ask her if she wanted us to change the time. She doesn't. We don't have to, because it's a one day thing. So next week she'll be back on.
Well, there was a big opening on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. There's a big open Saturday from 9 to midnight. We'll just say that. But the first thing we're talking about is Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, Cornax, I know that you didn't watch it yet, so I'll mostly do the review, but you can chime in here and there.
It's just sort of unfortunate because I did have it recorded, and I didn't watch it yet. But then, even though we had all space on our DVR, someone just went, oh, I'm going to delete this, this, and this. So, I missed it. Twice.
Oh, dude. Dude, seriously, though, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Is amazing. Great starting episode. The acting's good. Yeah, Dennis, it was Tuesday. I think you might have been in the chat for Unsigned Hype.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, it was on during the... Yeah, it aired Tuesday. Dennis, see if you can... You can probably torrent it, but... Sean is being the guy who didn't like it guy. No, it was really good. The great writing that Joss Whedon always has. He ties it in to being an aftermath of the Avengers very well. You get a pretty... Like, he's building his world that he started creating with the Avengers. And I love that. And now you could say, hey, wait, are some of these people going to be on the second Avengers movie? They did bring in some people. They kind of let on that Coulson... didn't really die, but...
They left it a mystery because then it could be brought up maybe as a point in Avengers 3.
Well, there's something that's not being told that even to Coulson...
Well, probably.
Like, they kind of... They throw that in there. I'm thinking...
Hashtag clone.
Yeah. I'm thinking life model decoy.
That's what it could be.
Yeah. Or that he really was dead and they somehow brought him back.
Yeah, or they use the cube or something, or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly.
They have J. August Richards, I think that's his name. The guy who played Gunn and Angel, liked.
They've also got the guy who played Book in Firefly. He plays the doctor, like for S.H.I.E.L.D., like their medic.
And I truly hope those people do get into the movies. Like, even if it's just, like, a bit cameo or something.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of awesome.
And the best part is, and the one thing that ties it to the movies, is Clark Gregg is one of the main characters in the show. So we're going to get to see Agent Coulson fleshed out more, and they kind of start doing that. And he's got his wit that he's had in all the Marvel movies. So, you know, you're going to see Whedon getting to do more with him, which I love that fact. And it let's see.
From a bit part in an Iron Man movie to now being the lead in a show
about S.H.I.E.L.D.
written by Joss Whedon.
And Colby Smulders is in it, or like in the beginning of the episode.
I know. Well, apparently, I did read that she said filming of How I Met Your Mother will not interrupt anything with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so she could be on there more frequently.
Oh, yeah, they'll probably have her on there. And what I hope they do with this show. Is they bring in people who are like lesser known characters in the Marvel universe?
Oh, absolutely, dude! If they somehow get Spider-Man in there,
it won't happen because they don't have the cinematic rights.
Yeah,
but if they did, they wouldn't. Like I said, don't bring in, but bring in smaller characters who can't really be introduced with their own movie, but. Like, have
well, no, I mean, you know, that's awesome, and I think they should do that, and they should focus on them. But, I mean, if you can get someone like Robert Downey Jr. to drop in as an Iron Man cameo...
Oh, that would be amazing. But what I'm talking about, though, is, for example, Luke Cage. While, realistically, you could kind of give him his own movie...
Big, angry black man.
But if you don't trust the character to have a movie that'll make money, fuck, put him in a season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
put him in that. You know,
try to make Speedball a feasible character.
Yeah, or give him his second name after he killed all those people.
Penance.
Penance. Yeah.
When he was a whiny bitch.
Yeah, pretty much.
He stabbed himself all over.
Yeah, put Penance in there.
You know what? Actually, that could work. Especially if you just sort of avoid the goofy part or imply that he was at one time a goofy superhero and then you include the penance days.
You can do that. Make him be a superhero early on and then make him be the antagonist for a season.
No, because he was never evil.
Little Matt says he wants the Luke Cage movie now. The thing is, though, it's hard to get it. Like, look at what they're doing with the Deadpool movie, which is a character that would probably make money if given the right director, because they have the right actor already in play in Ryan Reynolds for him. He's perfect.
But Marvel doesn't want to do R, and even when they do R, you're going to have to find some way to do a Deadpool, but you can't do him too over the top.
Like, that's not up to Marvel. That's up to Fox. Fox owns the rights.
Fuck.
So... yeah, and Ryan Reynolds wants to do it, but he said he sometimes one time he'll hear the movie's dead and it's not happening, and then he'll say, "Oh no, oh it's happening just down the road." So,
I just saw Sean's comment. I want Jet Jackson now. Jet Jackson committed suicide,
which is why he said it.
I know.
Not happening, Matt.
Oh God.
You're basically doing the same. Oh God, are you talking about what happened in WhatsApp, or what Matt said?
I'm talking about what happened. You know what? That could actually apply because I wasn't thinking of WhatsApp, but it could also apply to what Matt. It definitely applies to what Matt said. It could also apply to WhatsApp, where we see a picture of Steve and Susan.
Oh.
Ugh.
She is ghastly. No number. It's my Skype because Hammy's not running the feed, so there's no number to call. I should one day put the money in to actually have a phone number for the Nerd Hour. Now Sean wants me to. I've already been photoshopped him to be a yak, Sean. Anyway, minus distractions. Again, the show was fantastic. I can't wait. And hopefully it'll get more than one season. Finally, a Joss Whedon show getting, aside from Buffy, getting multiple seasons.
Angel had 5 seasons.
Outside of the Buffy universe.
Well, you just said outside of Buffy, so...
I count Angel as being part of Buffy. All
right.
So, one sign of good news. Although, then again, then again, V had a good first episode, too, but I think this will have more staying power because of the fact that it's got the Marvel connection. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did very well in the ratings. Now, it had 11.9 million viewers overall, which is really good. You know, I mean, granted, there's shows that did better that day, that same day, but still, 11.9 million viewers. Now, what really counts when it comes to how many people watch a show is the 18 to 49 demographic, which they had a 4.6 to be tied for first place on that day. It beat out NCIS.
Oh!
And it tied The Voice.
The number one, everything that's touted as the number one most watched television show.
Joss Whedon beat it. So, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had a phenomenal first episode. And I'm hoping that next week it doesn't have that much of a drop-off. Because V had very strong pilot ratings. And then it just kind of leveled off. But I think the good word of mouth this show's going to get is going to... And the fact that it's got the Avengers tag on there, it's got the Joss Whedon tag, I think it's going to do well.
Oh, yeah. And then you have, let's be honest, when it comes to the Avengers, you have certain big names, like Robert Downey Jr., Samuel L. Jackson, who you're probably not going to get on TV. Scarlett Johansson.
Who I wish they would get on TV.
Well, you want them to, and they probably could show up like for a one-time thing or something, but, you know...
Little Matt.
But here's the thing. With the Avengers, there are other actors with much lesser known names.
All right, there's two really good points that were brought up in chat. And Sean, SmackDown spoiler. The real Americans beat the primetime players. So, two good points in chat. Little Matt asking about the fact that The Walking Dead averages 8 million an episode, doesn't it? Yes, they do. But the thing is, The Walking Dead is also on cable. So, like, 8 million for The Walking Dead is probably right around, if it was on network, is what it would be. If, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it would probably have similar to that. But because it's on cable and there's less people who have cable and not network TV, or less people who watch shows on cable because just unless it's channels 1, unless it's channels 2 through 9, people don't care.
Yeah, that's one thing I've always noticed. There's never a channel 1.
No, because it's usually reserved for advertisements for the carrier. But... yeah, Walking Dead would probably average more if it was on the network, but a lot of people don't have cable, believe it or not. So, you know, that's and again, that's for the Walking Dead. They also have the replay, so and they don't combine the two. So there are people who can't make it for the original showing and get to the replay, and that's how, you know, that's probably more than 8 million a week. Is probably I'd say for the opening episodes for the seasons for The Walking Dead, it's safe to say anywhere from 12 to 14 million. Just between the two replays, I would say that's a fair estimate. And I've got to say, a success of a TV show does amazing things for the secondary value of the comics that it's based on. Just saying.
Oh yeah, probably.
The Laurie's Dead issue of The Walking Dead, which I bought when I got it for like $3.
I you sold it for like 50?
For 30.
Damn.
Alright, so I'm looking at The Walking Dead's ratings. Season 1 averaged, we'll say 4.5 million per episode, but it's season 1, then word of mouth kicks in. Season 2 looks like it averaged about, bumped up 2 million. Average of 6.5 million. Season three, it averaged over 10 million viewers an episode for this season. On cable, might I add.
Damn.
And I can guarantee, and the finale, the season premiere called Seed had 10.8 million viewers. The finale had 12.4 million.
Wow.
And the mid-season finale had 12.26 million.
Hey, yeah, but those numbers aren't as impressive as 15 million downloads on morelikeradio.com.
Well, that is true. That is true. But still, so The Walking Dead's going, and you know what? I think the pilot of this season is probably going to get close to 15 million. I think that's going to be a thing.
You think Rick's going to lose his hand?
Oh, if he does, he's going to lose that hand. I'm telling you, that hand is gone, guys. Just trying to do my show. Sorry, I had to throw a 1JJ voice in there. So, you know, we're going to shift from TV a little bit. We got some movie reviews. And I actually gave this as homework to Cornax and... then accidentally Ariel, because I forgot that she couldn't do the show tonight, so I sent her the links that I sent you, plus, you know, what to watch. We're going to talk, this is a first movie is a movie that we played the trailer for it a long time ago. I can't remember when we actually played it, but it's a British movie called Cockneys versus Zombies.
All right, first thing, can I just say, at the beginning of this movie, every character is portrayed either as an asshole, an idiot, or both.
Yeah, and it's fantastic. The crazy black dude with a metal plate in his head.
Jesus. That's one thing that's really good about this movie. All the characters you like survive.
Yeah, all the characters who are either dicks or you don't like die.
Yeah, like, let's see. The fat guy. Davey?
Yeah.
Davey Tuppence, yeah. You know, he wasn't so... They die in varying degrees of how you feel about them. Like, you know, the Davey, it's kind of... You don't really like him because he's kind of annoying. He's kind of really sort of stupid, but you don't hate him. You know, and his death is sort of tragic.
Yeah, it's a big moment in the movie.
Well, yeah, because it's just an accident, which is caused by the other idiot's death, who, this one he just don't plain like, Clive. Yeah. And he decides to be an asshole all throughout the movie. You know, and then he finally gets his by being torn up by zombies. So you're just kind of laughing at it. And then you have the one character you really hate.
And
Mickey.
And the, which one?
The black guy, Mickey.
I want to point out, too, a cool thing. Peggy, in the movie, she's one of the old people.
Yeah, the one with the AK-47?
Yeah. She is played by Honor Blackman. For those of you who don't know that name, she played Pussy Galore in Goldfinger.
Yeah, I remembered that name. I couldn't remember from where.
Yeah, in Goldfinger, she played Pussy Galore.
You know what scares me?
What's that?
I just typed in Honor Blackman to Google. Do you know what the second result is?
What's that?
Honor Blackman feet. God damn, what is wrong with people?
But now, I gotta warn you guys, I will say, this is, it's very similar in vein to Shaun of the Dead, as far as a British comedy with zombies.
No, I think it's handled differently.
Well, that's what I was going to get into. A, it's a lot more British in humor, though. Whereas the thing with Shaun of the Dead was, a lot of the humor is based off pop culture, where, alright, now he's saying feed died on him. We're still live, so, can we get a, you know, I'm going to play the 360 and 420 game. Retard! So, for those of you who listen to 360 on 20, 320, or 360 and 420, you know what to do.
Retard.
Because it says that I'm still going, Western Echo put Susan Dean. Alright,
okay,
we're still on.
We're good.
Someone tell Butt Monkey to refresh, because he says the feed died on him. And let me know if the feed died. Anyway. But, like, yeah, I like the humor in it. The humor's great. It's got good practical special effects.
Yes! And I like that beginning where the zombies are just skeletons.
Yeah, well, because, and here's how the zombie, and that's another thing I like, too. It's a clear explanation of how this plague started, but they throw something in there so that it doesn't go by the Romero rules or the Walking Dead rules, where anybody who dies becomes one. It's strictly, if you're bitten by one, you become one.
Yeah, which is why, you know, and it was like all the characters realized this. Everyone noticed.
Yeah.
And yet Mickey, the supposed badass with a gun, doesn't, you know, and when he's shooting someone, he shoots him in the arm, he shoots him in the leg, he shoots him in whatever. He doesn't give him a headshot.
But what I like, too, is when he became a zombie, the metal plate came into play.
I know. I did like that. I did like they had that callback.
That was great. You know, the fact that, like, they're trying to shoot him in the head, but they couldn't because he's got the metal plate. So they wound up sticking a grenade in his mouth.
I sort of appreciate that, because when I realized he got bit, I was like, ah, they're calling back to that, which will give them some sort of issue.
And now the song Monster by the Automatic is stuck in my head because of the opening credits. Cornax, that's the song you heard, you know, during the intro credits.
Oh, yeah.
It's stuck in my head now. And now Little Matt's posting Pussy Galore pictures. Or at least old pictures of Honor Blackman. Dude,
I can do them one better.
Dude, I wonder how many people are creeped out watching Cockneys vs. Zombies, realizing that they probably scrapped to old pictures of her.
Oh, no.
Cornax is putting something in chat. I can hear it. I can hear it from here. From here in New Jersey. He's doing that there in New York.
Close. What?
I can hear you getting ready to put something in chat.
Well, I told you I would be doing so.
I know, but I can hear the process is what I'm saying. And again, dude, the end is great. The best character in that movie is the grandfather.
Yes,
he is amazing. Just a salty old British fucker. He's played by Alan Ford, who you may remember from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels as Alan.
I don't, but go on.
Alan, also the narrator of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. He was Bricktop in Snatch. He basically the main bad guy in Snatch. So he's very good, but he's good at playing the feisty old men. Oh, who is that?
That's Liz Katz.
Oh, God. I sent her the Facebook message. I want to get her on the show.
I would very much like to get her on the show, too. And I would very much also like to get Hammy on the show so we can bash him for not dating her at all.
Oh, well, you know, then again, remember, Hammy was too busy dumping girls because they were a little chunky.
And we've proved that he's a retard for that.
Little Matt, I swear to God, you know what? No, you're not double visioning me, Matt. Not going to happen. But, yeah, the grandfather was fantastic. And one of my favorite scenes in the movie was... oh, shit, this is amazing. When one of the old guys, and he's basically the old pervert of the group, of the people in the nursing home who survived. Like your introduction to this character...
is him spying on...
a girl, like, just sunbathing in a bikini.
Uh-huh.
With his binoculars. He's having a nap as the zombies are attacking the old folks in the...
You know, and he's running away! Because they're not the fast zombies, you know, they're lumbering behind him.
Matt, I'm not a virgin, idiot. He said the two virgins are getting wet over her. I've gotten laid before, Matt. So, there's one. But still...
let's not forget, even though he's not including himself, he is still
a virgin.
And he's probably drooling over her.
Because, Matt, rape doesn't count. Anyway.
It's a bit!
So
it's a bit punchy!
I know. But anyway. So, the really old guy, he's to the point he's got to use a walker to move. So he's moving slowly on the walker as he's getting chased by equally slow-moving zombies. And it's fantastic.
I know, it's awesome. And then the grandpa comes out and beats the fuck out of them. What I loved was watching how, even when they're dead, the soccer hooligans still fucking fight.
Yes, that was another great scene. Don't know what he's talking about. There's a scene, they see a bunch of zombies, but they're all wearing different soccer color teams. And instead of going after the living people for a snack, they just start... it's a massive zombie fight.
You, like, one zombie slowly shanking the other in the stomach.
Yeah. It looked like a soccer hooligan Royal Rumble. But instead of being people, they're zombies. It's one of my favorite scenes. And said brawl led to them being able to... get to the car and escape. So, like, just so many good things about this movie. And a lot of, like, references to things, like, pop culture-wise in England. And holy shit, who's that? Still her?
That's Cats again.
All right. Little Matt says, just putting it out there, that the Australian accent has been voted as the sexiest accent in the world. Well, I can see that, because I do kind of get a little bit of a pudge when Emma from NXT is on. No comment, okay. Cornax? Do you know who that is?
I haven't watched wrestling in months.
Jesus. Let me guess, since you got the job?
No. Since I got pissed off one too many times by the company.
Watch NXT, because they do it right. And El Generico is there, so... And I'm going to Ring of Honor Final Battle, just so everyone knows. I got to point that out. And I'm going to Night of the Living Dead Rift Tracks. Live.
Jesus.
Wait. Who's that, Little Matt? I want names with pictures now. But anyway.
That's Kate Upton.
Oh. Is that really her, or is that a Photoshop?
That's really her.
Oh, that's just fantastic. I'm distracted. Yeah, yes, E-Mac, you do, because there's a Sami Zayn versus El Local, who is Ricardo Rodriguez, when they actually let him wrestle, and they have a match. Little Matt posting a picture of Emma from NXT.
I posted another Liz Katz picture from the same photo set.
Ooh, yeah. I'm a Liz Katz fan. Red Sox has final battle. That's right. Red Sox is also going to final battle this year. He's going to be second row. I'm going to be sixth row. And dude,
he should just have a sign where on the back of it says Punchy.
And we'll probably exchange numbers and just talk through WhatsApp.
Oh, you'll exchange numbers and you'll just text each other under the covers.
No, but
yes.
Then again, we don't have to exchange numbers because you get the phone numbers on WhatsApp. But anyway, going back to topic, Cockneys versus Zombies ruled.
Yes, it does. Good effects. I especially love that effect where the zombie rips off the black dude's lip.
Yeah, even the skeleton zombies in the beginning, which is generally a hard-to-pull-off effect because it always looks cheesy. I mean, as much as I love Army of Darkness, the skeleton army just looks weird.
Well, you know, it was obviously cheesy here, but it's supposed to be cheesy.
Yeah. I think it could partially be the fact that it was in a dimly lit room for the effect, but it actually didn't look that cheesy. Oh, now he posts on Paige.
Yeah, and there's nothing about her getting a tit job or anything. If you look at photos, she hasn't really changed. It just matters on what type of push-up material she's wearing.
Western Echo, I know that it was supposed to have shitty looking skeleton army. I'm just saying as a comparison. But also, any other movie that has had a giant skeleton. Like, alright, I'll give an example where it's not supposed to be a shitty looking skeleton. Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3. When Freddy, who's in the middle of a nightmare, attacking the teens, realizes his bones are about to be buried and reanimates them. That's a cheesy looking skeleton effect. It's hard to do. But they pull it off, probably because of the lighting in this movie. But, you know. No, don't make your win a fail, Butt Monkey. Come on. Don't do it. If you're going to try to make your win from today a fail, I'm not going to pick up. But anyway, no, Matt. Everything in America is not cheesy. Shut your Aussie mouth. Anyway, the movie that me and Cornax have been excited to review.
Well, that Punchy's been excited to review.
Well, that too. But it hasn't come out on Blu-ray and DVD yet. But for some odd reason, they decided to do a digital release of Curse of Chucky. Which, A, meant that it leaked, but B, meant that I decided why not and spent the money to buy it on iTunes. And you know what? I don't get why it's straight to video.
Yeah, it is actually better than most of the other Chucky ones. Other Chucky films, but at the same time, maybe it's better than it is.
Why do you say that?
Well, just because, you know, it just sort of feels right, doesn't it?
You know what? Expectations are probably lower for the DVD release than it would be if it was a theatrical release. But still, like, it's the best movie since the second one.
Well, absolutely. And I do kind of like the backstory they give in the movie and how they kind of connect it to the first film as well.
Yeah.
In two different ways.
The worst two in that series, by the way, easily Seed and 3. Saying that right now. Those two are easily the worst movies in the series. But it's up there with 1, 2, and Bride.
And you know what I appreciate about this movie? It doesn't make any attempt to retcon the other ones.
No.
It embraces the history, but it does go on more serious tone.
It embraces the entire history.
It's kind of like you, like with the other films, everyone already knows that Chucky is the killer after Child's Play 1. Alright? So they don't really hide it. But this one was more a return to form with the original Child's Play.
You only really see Chucky when he starts killing the family members when they arrive.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see him kill the mother in the beginning of the movie. And you, like, actually, you don't really see it. There's a scene where he poisons the dinner, tries to poison all the dinner, but only gets the one in time.
The priest?
Yeah. Like, you only really see his arm doing that. Oh, wow, four broken headsets for...
What is he doing? Lining his mattress with them? Crunch, crunch,
crunch. Is that another Liz Katz photo?
His mattress is very, very pointy. Meh.
Is that another Liz Katz photo in chat? Dang.
Yes, it is.
All right,
her
stop.
Her dress is Tifa.
Stop distracting me. Anyway. Like, you know, so you don't really see him moving as Chucky would. And he's a little darker than the past couple movies because, you know, they went more comedic. But I'm not going to say why he's getting revenge, but it's a legit revenge story.
Well, yeah, and like I said, it also ties into, legitimately, the beginning of the first film.
Yeah, legitimately ties into the beginning. Fiona...
As in, you know, let me just... All right, spoilers, semi-spoilers. So you're probably going to want to skip ahead if this podcast...
Yeah, you know, we're going to say spoilers, more than
just,
likely.
Well, no, I'm going to try to avoid getting specific. But spoiler alert is, this family is somewhat responsible for Chucky being the way he is. Yep. Essentially, the first movie, you see him running away from the cops, and then he holds up the toy store. This family, in the past, led to that.
Yep. And again, like I said, they tie things up. And there's a... All right, I'm going to say this now. It's going to kind of be a spoiler. But Andy Barclay does make an appearance.
Oh, yes, he does.
And actually, so does Tiffany. Well,
yes, she does.
As Jennifer Tilly, you know, Jennifer Tilly, but possessed by Tiffany. So,
which shows that even though the last film was ridiculous, they're still embracing it.
Yep. Even though it was, and you realize that Chucky's wearing a mask, that's why his face doesn't look scarred.
Yeah, I know. I saw the movie.
I'm telling the listeners.
Oh.
So, at the, you know, there's a credit scene that involves Andy Barclay that would be the definitive end of the series if they don't make an actual sequel and just go with a reboot. But there's two endings with a six-month gap between them. So if they were to make one more sequel, it would be set during that six-month gap.
Probably. But that was a pretty great ending to it.
Yeah.
Especially because it just shows after everything that he's gone through, Andy is fucking prepared.
Yep.
Although, I'm just going to say this. What is it with kids named Andy and their toys coming to life?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a weird thing, but it always happens. Andy Barclay, though, just seems to get the short end of it.
Oh, you think?
His doll ends up being a murderous psychopath that leads him going from foster home to foster home, even to a military academy, which, by the way, they make references to 2 and 3 in the scene with Andy Barclay. Because it shows a table that Chucky looks at it. There's a picture of Andy and his mom, and Andy's talking to his mom on the phone. And he also actually asks her how Mike, who is the cop in the first one, how he's doing. There's a picture of Kyle, the girl from the second one. And... But, Monkey, don't try to get yourself banned again. I'd rather you just listen and stop trying to ruin your MVP status. But you know, shit pics will get deleted, and a ban will happen. Echo, if any shit pics are put in chat, delete them, please.
You almost said ban him.
No.
No, you almost said.
Almost
you
did.
Yourself.
I don't want him to get banned. I don't want him to, I want him to be in chat listening. I don't, you know. The only reason I did last week was because he was asking me to.
Oh, yeah, literally.
So, please don't make us have to do that again. Anyway, and there was a reference to the third one with the Kent Military School ad. All right, he's not trying to. All right, yeah, don't post shit pics. Yeah, you were posting the shit pictures, butt monkey, and then you were at telling us to ban you.
Like, seriously, going, ban me, please ban me.
Yeah, you were
it's
going...
It's like watching a guy... Actually, that's a perfect analogy. If you go to a random cam site and you see a guy asking a girl, saying, ban me, I've been a naughty boy.
Yeah, and I don't want to. You had a good day today, butt monkey. You were fantastic during Brain Stew. Yeah, dude, you were. I only did it once because you were basically like, you were basically saying that you just wanted to be. So I banned you so you could go to bed, and then I unbanned you right after. So, you know, it wasn't even a real ban; it was just a kick, pretty much. Anyway, so yeah, I like the references to the second and third one. Well, you were also all right. I got to go back to Butt Monkey. Butt Monkey, you were also pretty drunk.
Really,
you were really drunk, which is probably why you don't remember. Little Matt is saying him asking to be banned, but the way that like Mel Gibson in South Park saying "hurt me" or "torture me," oh yeah, it hurts.
Yeah.
All right. What the fuck?
I think that explains a little bit about Matt's interactions in chat.
Yeah, now Mitch is posting drawn pictures of shit. Great. Anyway, back to Curse of Chucky. Oh, god damn it. God damn it, Matt. Well, not Matt, Mitch. Sorry. But, like I said, Fiona Dourif was really good. And I was like, all right, are they going to have some sort of connection with Chucky in this character since, you know, the girl is being played by the daughter of the guy who does the voice of Chucky and played him in his human form? But it's not the case. Brad Dourif's daughter plays just someone not related but still who knows him, kind of. Doesn't know him, but still. And she does well. The one who plays her sister plays a greedy bitch so well.
Oh my god, I fucking hated Barb.
Like, holy shit.
No, it's like she's trying to... Nika's trying to, you know, point out, you know, drop the doll, you don't want to touch the doll, whatever. And then she's just like, you know, it's not my fault that you're paralyzed or that you're... You dropped out of school or whatever.
Well, no. The insinuation is she's trying to tell her that Chucky's in the doll.
Yeah.
Without directly saying it. Well, no. She is insinuating that Chucky is possessing the doll. The Barb was thinking that was her admitting that she knew that the husband put a nanny cam in Chucky.
Yeah, I know, but it was just sort of... The way she goes, it's not my fault you're paralyzed. It's like, what the fuck?
Well, because she got defensive, because she thought that her sister was in on it without telling her.
Yeah. You know what's the ironic thing?
What's that?
You know, how Barb is the one who gets killed?
Yeah.
And how, you know, it's the guy who voices Chucky's daughter plays Nika, her sister.
Survives.
You know, it's Barb who gets killed. And also is the one with kind of a connection.
Yeah. Well, you know what like kind of annoyed me about people who were responding to the movie? They mentioned that one of the characters disappears for the whole last act of the movie. But if you just watch the movie, because it shows the Barb's husband watch. Because all right, there's a nanny cam put in Chucky. But they bring their nanny with them, who's fucking hot, by the way.
Which is why the husband is sleeping with her.
No. They make you think that the husband's the one sleeping with her.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then you find out that, no, Barb is the one macking it with her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you find that out eventually. But, like, he puts a nanny cam in her. So he starts you know, they show while he's watching the footage from the cam that Chucky clearly put the girl in a closet for the rest of the move, for the rest of the events in that house. Clearly puts her in there.
No one, I guess people just don't pay attention. Like me, I paid more attention to the ending and shit.
Yeah. And feel like, you know, and the weird part was, in a way, Chucky won.
Oh yeah, he did.
Everything before the credits, which leads to a bit of a plot hole. But not really, because if you think about it, they kind of show something in the end that would prevent him from finishing what he was doing. So, or they could just say, you know, like they could do the Child's Play 2 thing where he thought he could do it, but he couldn't because he didn't have the amulet.
All right, well, whatever it is. Yeah, he does technically win against this group, and then he goes on to lose.
Lose overall. And in a great scene, and a fantastic way to wrap things up. So, with that, that was our review. No, actually, hold on. One more thing before we go to break. A couple more things, actually. All right, some news. Some TV news, everyone. Now, we talked about earlier a Marvel TV show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that debuted. Now, two announcements, both from the DC camp. The first one is that Fox greenlit a series about Commissioner Gordon. It's going to be called Gotham, and it's going to be his younger years. He's going to be, him as a younger cop, I think, you know. So,
yeah, but I'm just kind of finding it interesting that they announce this just as they premiere Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, yeah, that's what you do. You're opportunistic, and you make sure to, holy shit, that ass on that volleyball player. Anyway. Yeah, of course you do that, because everybody, the big talk is TV shows based on comic book properties, so it's a fantastic time to announce that.
But, I wonder if Marvel can use this to their advantage.
They don't need to use anything to their advantage.
No, you don't understand what I'm saying. Fox is working with DC.
No, because, you see, Fox the channel and 20th Century Fox, the film studio, two different things. And they probably didn't put a clause like that because they probably didn't think that DC was going to be making TV shows on anything other than WB, which was the channel at the time.
Fuck. Was hoping for it. Was
no,
hoping.
Because then Sony could probably get on them and go, oh, you put Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on one of our biggest competitors. Or whatever channel. Well, actually, no. I think Channel 7 is owned by Paramount. So,
Channel 7 is Disney.
Oh, all right.
ABC is Disney.
ABC is Disney. Which one does Paramount own?
I don't know. But that basically means that Marvel would be doing their own, staying within their company.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, It that's why Marvel wouldn't go after them, because then someone else could go after them for the fact that they put their show on ABC. So, yeah, we're going to get...
Well, no, they couldn't, because ABC is their company.
Yeah, but Paramount is the one that does the Avengers. Oh, I get what you mean. Disney owns Marvel, so therefore...
Yes, exactly.
I kind of forgot for a second that Disney does own them. So... Oh, look, there's an ad for Portlandia, another great IFC show. And we're going to go on break. Oh, no, we're not. Sorry. I forgot to read this one last thing, and then we're going to... Not only was Commissioner Gordon given a show on Fox, but NBC announced that they're doing a television series based on the character John Constantine.
Yeah, which could be interesting.
Yeah, and I say more power to them, because the movie about John Constantine kind of blew.
Let's see. If they're essentially... This is essentially DC trying to cop with Marvel is doing, which I think could kind of work.
Essentially.
Especially if you try to do an Angel thing with Constantine.
Which could work.
Yeah. In other words, rip off Joss Whedon. And you'll be good.
Pretty much. Oh, look at this. iTunes froze. I think. Oh, no, never mind. Now it's good. All right. We are the Nerd Hour. We'll be back in a... This is the same break as last week, so it's going to be pretty lengthy. So be back in a bit.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Here at More Like Radio, we're all radio professionals, especially Kevin from the Alcohol by Volume. Marvel as he winds his way through the twists and turns of Skype.
And you're about to get a Skype call.
Here we go. Answering the call.
So, yeah, not to interrupt this exciting hockey talk, but what's going on, guys?
And call not found, and he dropped me. That's fantastic.
It's under the impression this was a drunk show, not bore everyone that's listening show.
Well, I'm still in the process of drinking.
I think we lost Kevin, or Kevin decided to be lost.
You're still in the process of boring people.
And I just realized I put Dennis on hold somehow.
This is that nightmare that I've been having of at some point finally getting on call and talking to somebody and being on air and everybody else just dropping.
Dennis is back
there
now.
There you guys are.
Sorry, look, Dennis.
Wow, fucking radio professional over here doesn't know how to add people to conference.
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays, 6 to 8 p.m. only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Marianne from Lust and Love. Recently, we decided the show needed more dicks, so we found the manliest man we knew to fill the spot, Dark Fox.
I know this is weird, but my boyfriend broke up with me because my dick is too short. He praised me about my skills and all, but is this a really good reason for a breakup? Because it's really hurting me until now. I can't seem to forget all the memories we had together. I know this can't be the reason, or maybe has he met another guy? I really cannot get over him because once he told me, I love your dick, whilst he was stroking it. That's the reason I will never let go.
Lust and Love, now gayer than ever. And that's saying a lot considering we used to have Hammy on the show. Join us Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Raya.
And, of course, your host with the most, Big JP.
And we are...
The Man Cave Radio Show.
Listen, check out our boys, The Sully Show, every Sunday from noon to 2, exclusively on...
MoreLikeRadio.com.
That's right. Check them out,
bitches.
You'll love them.
I bet you will.
Yep.
Objection is so cliche. A new world.
Hey, everybody. This is Joe Conte with Kenny Michaels from the Conte and Kenny Show. And we just wanted to let you know about a brand new podcast we are doing called Conte and Kenny Shorts.
It's a bunch of stuff that we had from newer stuff that we just re-release from our regular 3-hour show on Monday nights. But we also have dug around and found all the good stuff that we've been doing for 7 years. Or if you like the crazy stories, there's a ton of them. We just got to find them, grab them, put them out.
Yeah. The podcast is anywhere from 20 to 35 minutes. And you get like 2 or 3 quick segments with a couple of little things in between, you know, little cute little things. And so far people like it. So the best way to do it is to either go to ContiandKenny.com or just subscribe on iTunes.
And also remember, I've only stopped doing cocaine for about 3 years. So there's 4 years of cocaine.
Ah.
Remember that. Just as much drinking.
BC and AC. Before Coke and after Coke.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. I like it. BC and AC.
BC and AC.
So, there are some good times.
Yep. This is Conte and Kenny Shorts, a podcast of a podcast, which I like to say, based on our show, the Conte and Kenny Show.
Podcast of a podcast.
Yeah, because we do a show, but it's also a podcast. So that's a podcast of a podcast.
But we do a show, not a podcast.
But our show was still podcasted.
But if we podcasted it, then it would be not a show. It'd be a podcast. But if we do a show, then we podcast it, and then we a podcast of a podcast. But that doesn't sound right.
Do you think people are still listening now?
No, that's they're why they not go even to podcasts.
They're not even listening to this commercial.
Why are you arguing with me?
I don't know.
You're completely correct.
Conte and Kenny Show Shorts. Conte and Kenny Shorts from the show. The Conte and Kenny Show on More Like Radio every Monday night, 7 to 10.
We had to shorten it up because we didn't think we could do this much longer.
It's over 2 minutes. How are we shortening this up?
No, I mean our careers.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks.
Enjoy.
Do you like video games? Are you a little antisocial? Well, listen to Antisocial Gamer Radio, Tuesdays from 3 to 5 on morelikeradio.com.
Red Show, that's an online radio show.
Across the country, are
going shirtless.
Why?
So I don't want to go shirtless.
These guys that have been on the air.
What the fuck? The hosts of the Red Show.
In which there's really no other way to put it, they'd be less funny than that.
He's your guy on the Red Show.
Because he is a racist. That's the whole reason he's your guy.
That's the Red Show.
I went on there.
Radio
and again,
show.
I'm not open. We are here now at More Like Radio because of Tex Muncher.
He got us
fired.
It's a goddamn war zone.
I see the slight shift and I don't like it.
Obviously hates pretty much everyone who's not a white male in his 40s, I would imagine.
In radio, and that's what they were trying to do. And I remember that.
Bad words. That's words.
Okay, I want you dead.
God. Who's Texy, by the way?
On Twitter. Okay. Headline. You know, especially, I know.
What Texy does, he's a fucking all-star pitcher that shits in the manager's office.
He probably deserves a Texy date, I think.
That's right, Jason and Tex. Take that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you, Gather.
You won over the heart of a Colorado housewife. Congratulations.
He is so banged up. He can't even focus. Now he has his hands over his face.
Footer's losing his mind. He's covering his face. He's swaying back and forth. He's like rape showers.
It's The Red. Wednesdays at 9 East. Only at morelikeradio.com.
Hey everybody, this is Alexa. You can hear my Uncle Sean say terrible things on a Hippo Juice show. Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Followed by the Red Show from 9 to 11. And now mark out Radio with Big T and Dark Fox is on Wednesday too. Join them during their new time slot, 11 to 1 a.m., only on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, you. Yes,
you guessed 10,542,000. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room. It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
Yes. It is us. We are back. The Nerd Hour. With me and Punchy and Cornax. Wow, I said that horribly.
I was just letting you flounder.
With Punchy, and my other co-host, Cornax, who has graduated from third mic, not eighth mic, JJ. Just trying to do my shows, guys. Third mic, but playing second mic tonight because Ariel is not in. Which is the great thing about having a third mic, I gotta point out, is that if one can't make it, the show isn't canceled for the week, or doesn't have to be pre-recorded, which is beautiful. So if Cornax want to take a week off, it could be me and Ariel. If Ariel, it could be me and Cornax. If I want to take a day off, it could be Cornax and Ariel. Either way...
We were actually planning to do that when you were sick, too.
But then I said fuck it and decided to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. So, alright.
You know what I find strange?
My God.
What?
Look in chat.
Oh, boy.
Good Lord Jesus. And I ain't another... Holy
look
shit.
Look what Butt Monkey just posted.
Oh, wow. Butt Monkey destroyed the fabric of a station.
No, they did that. Also, one thing I want to point out. All right, everyone's going on about how great GTA 5 is, and it looks legitimately great because it looks like it fixed my gripes with GTA 4.
I've got to point out, Finley Manhattan asks, if you get banned from a certain internet station's chat room, is it permanent asking for a friend? Hammy goes, no, Brainster Radio proves it every week with who's in the chat. Oh, man. That's great. I want to make an announcement. I've been pumping this on Twitter. I pumped it on Brainster, too. I am doing my own podcast.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah. It's called By the Way, because that's become the new bit now that I say by the way a lot. So it's by the way podcast at podomatic.com to check that out. The first episode is just me rambling on for about an hour. But next week I start interviewing people. Week one, first interview, which is going to be episode 2, is going to be with Kevin from Alcohol by Volume. I'll be recording that sometime during the week. And then the next 2 weeks after that, one episode is going to be Joe Conti, and the other episode is going to be Halls.
Nice. That's a role reversal.
Yeah, right. I'm just right. I've been interviewed by Halls, and now she's going to be interviewed by me. But I'm hoping to have Conti be after Kevin, and Halls to be after Conti. So that the week I interview her is the week of the benefit. But if it's got to be the other way around, I don't mind either, because both are on the benefit. So Halls is one of the people putting it together, the Love for Narc Zito benefit. Cornax, do you have the URL for that?
I believe it is brownpapertickets.com/... I actually don't have it right on me.
I'll get it.
I think it's probably Cancer Sucks or something.
I think it's brownpapertickets.com/cancersucks, but I can find out. But, it's a great cause. All right. Fantastic. It's going to be a great show. Just, if you're in the area or you can make it to the New York area, please get a ticket and go. It's going to go towards his family. And it's tinyurl.com/narczito.
All right.
They're doing raffles. It's like a 50-50 raffle. So, I mean, so, and again, it's for a good cause, you know. There's one thing that apparently is going to have signed Knicks, Nets, and Yankees stuff along with Jets tickets.
Whoa.
That's what's being insinuated here. Cornax, I know me, I'm trying to work with you on putting something in one of the baskets.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm reminding you.
Yeah. You go, well, no, because we brought it up once and then we never spoke about it again.
Good point. I should have, right, find out if that's doable.
It probably is, especially if I mention what the cause is.
Yeah, just to say, because listen, I'm sure there's people who like those movies. So I'm sure that'll be, you know, pretty good throw-in. And I'm probably going to put in some MLR shirts because I have a few extras from the, you know. I'll talk to Hammy. I think we still have some stuff.
Do we have any of any plus sizes?
You know what? All the ones that I was able to grab, none of them were in big sizes.
Yeah, I was handed a large. Maybe at the second anniversary, now that I'm part of staff, I can get something in my size.
Maybe. But, yeah, I'm going to go to this benefit. I'm going to be there. So you guys should be there, too. We can hang out and talk and shoot the shit. Now, music is going to be by this guy, John Radio. Some of the comics on there with additional acts to be announced. Bob Levy, Otto and George, Joe Conti, and Big Jay Oakerson. So that's pretty. It's a really good lineup. So you get that, you get the 50-50 raffle. Why not go? Oh, yeah, and there's going to be a silent auction, too. So it would behoove you to go. And now that we've gotten the plug out of the way.
Yes, as I was mentioning about video games.
Oh, Christ, Butt Monkey. Oh, my God. I don't know if that's... Like, it looks like it's a... Wow.
What?
You'll see.
No, I know, but you didn't say it. You said it looks like it what?
Cornax, respond to the picture in chat. I'll be right back. Just talk for a few. I want to check something for Matt.
Okay.
Respond to the picture. Talk. No dead air.
It is a butt. It is a butt in volleyball shorts. And there are sneakers underneath the butt. And there's a there's black spandex over the butt. And that's a big, fat,
all right, you're good. Ass. You're good. Little Matt, do you wear either an adult small or an adult large?
Him wear a large?
I know, but still. Do you wear either one of those sizes, Matt?
I mean, granted, a large is small in comparison to us, but he's way smaller than that.
And if you wear the adult small, you need to fucking eat more, because holy shit, that shirt is tiny. Like, and not just compared to what I wear. It's tiny in general.
All right, I'll give him some credit. He's probably a medium.
I may have a medium. If he's a medium, he can wear the large. Or he can do the emo look and wear the small. But I think I have a couple others, Matt. Just say what your shirt size is. Adult small is him. All right.
Yes. Yes, well, Matt. Tell us what you're wearing.
Then guess what, Matt? You win. You win a More Like Radio t-shirt, which I'd better see in photos. Oh, shit. He's 120 pounds.
Jesus H. Christ, man.
Motherfucker, you small. Winner, though. Congratulations, Matt. I'll give me your address. I'll pay whatever the insane amount is for shipping to Aussie land. And you'll get an MLR shirt.
Dude, it's like $27 to ship to Australia.
Son of a bitch.
You regret saying that now, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You jackass.
I've got a check now. How much it really cost. Oh, my God. Does it really cost that much?
Let's see. Ship. Let's say, how much would you say a t-shirt weighs?
Not that much. Like,
how many ounces? Like, let's go 5 ounces.
Yeah, we'll put 5 ounces.
All right.
We'll say, do we say a package or a large envelope?
Large envelope.
Yeah, there we go. We'll say 1 pound. How much will this cost me to ship this shirt to you?
Probably a shitload.
Let's see. Ho! Good God! Yeah, little Matt, I'm sorry, you don't win.
You fail.
You
fail because you live in Australia.
I'm sorry, you do not win. Holy crap, I did not expect it to be that much.
How much?
$54.
Wow, that's even worse than what I said.
Fuck. That...
But you know what that also says? Matt, to Punchy, you are not worth $50.
Shipping from USPS is $55. So, hey, anybody else have a large or a small shirt size? Because I will send you the shirt instead. Fucking, why does Matt have to be from Australia, goddammit?
Because his ancestors were criminals.
Now I know why most of these contests based in America don't ship outside of the continental U.S.
Gee, you think?
It costs them more money than the item they got probably costs.
Yeah.
Fuck that. I've got to save for Comic-Con. I'm not paying $50. Oh, man. Wow. Wow. Look at what was in chat. Which, by the way, that is highly illegal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so first person in chat who's a size large or small who says so, who lives in the continental United States, gets a free More Like Radio t-shirt, because I'm never going to fit into either one of those sizes. So I want to do something with them, and I want to involve the listeners. It's a white MLR t-shirt. It's very nice. Very slick. You know, it's not cheap as far as the screen printing. So, you know, if someone's a large or a small, you know, let me know. I'll need your address, obviously. Don't worry, I'm not a stalker. I'm not going to post it in chat rooms like they do in the animals in the other station do.
Listen to us just burning bridges.
Matt, the only stock I have is what I got from the live event. So, Matt says he'll wire me some money so I can ship it. Oh, I get it, Western Echo. If it costs $200 because big shirts, get it? I buy my shirts in the U.S., so the shipping's only like $5 or $6. Regardless, we spent enough time on this. Time to go back to nerdy stuff. Sorry.
Yeah, I couldn't even get my video game bit off.
Matt, listen, if you want to go through with that, we can do that. Yeah, we do need fat fucking MLR shirts. Why did I grab all the small sizes?
Because you weren't thinking at all?
They do have fat ass sizes. They do. I didn't see the tags when I grabbed shirts because I was told that I could take some shirts if I wanted.
So you just randomly took shit without knowing what you were getting.
Well, come on, figuring the sizes of the hosts and the listener base, I figured there'd be a lot more big sizes.
I don't know.
I mean, I literally got Coletta-sized shirts.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, no.
All right,
Coletta is a negative small, which means he is the opposite end of small on the zero scale because of his craterous chest.
All right. You know what? I'll check other places. You know, all right, Matt. Matt is the tentative winner. If I can find something that's like, even 20, like $15 bucks for shipping, I'll pay that. $15-$20 bucks for shipping. I'll do that. I'll check other places to ship. But, you know. But if since he's taking the small, if someone wants a large MLR shirt, let me know. I'll send it to you. Because, let's face it, at my smallest, I'm going to be an XL. So, yeah, I'm not going to be so small that I can wear a large. And yeah, it is 99% fatties that listen and have shows. He's got a good point there. Oh my god, look at that gif. Yeah. Anyway, back to topic. All right, we
had a topic?
Yeah, we did, remember? I teased it. But now Bloody Disgusting, which is bloody-disgusting.com, they decided that they decided to list what they think are the top five franchises in horror. So we're going to read over their list. Cornax, the link's in chat if you want to click it. Sorry, I should have put that in Skype chat before I opened my mouth. But
yes, you should have.
Number five is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise, which, you know, I get.
Mm.
I mean, most of the sequels were kind of shitty, but
yeah,
most of the sequels and remakes after the third movie went really to shit. Although they do say part three is abysmal, but fuck it. It had Ken Foray. No, it had, not Ken Foray. Or no, wait, I think it did have Ken Foray. Whatever lead black actor was in there.
I just find it interesting because you look at Psycho and then you look at Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And you know they're both based off of the same dude and you see how differently they took that story.
Yep. Little Matt says Matt O'Sullivan, possibly a poll. So, all right, that's number five, and here's what they say. Of course, Tobe Hopper's 1974 original is a classic, a truly beautiful film, and his 1986 sequel is a masterpiece of Gonzo Universe reinvention. But man, are parts three and four abysmal. Then why is this on there? But anyway, I digress. The 2003 remake was decent enough, though I didn't care for its prequel. The remake kind of sucked, too. But there's not a lot of the original franchise left to chew on. Once you get to this year's remake / sequel, you're seeing this series push up against its limitations. Though I agree with one of my friends who asserts that 3D would have been a much better film if they had had the conviction to drop the modern day angle and keep it in 94, which was clearly the original intention. All right, that's one thing. Number four. Halloween, which, you know, realistic. This feels sort of nuts because it's bar none the best film of any of the franchises that beat it. The original Halloween, he means. Is without question one of the best horror films ever made, and certainly the best slasher. But deep in my gut, I can't muster much enthusiasm for this brand as a whole. Sure, Halloween 2 is okay, and Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, is pretty great. But the subsequent Michael Myers installments, I'm including the remake and its sequel in this assessment, just kind of all fade together. The fourth film is pretty good, but it begins a slow bleed out. The way the mythology is expanded just doesn't interest me. And let's face it, the way it's retconned, the expansions of it. I'm not a big fan of H2O Resurrection and can't relate to Rob Zombie's take on the material either. Perhaps the diminishing returns can be boiled down to one fact. The more you explain Michael Myers, the further you get away from the point of the original film. That evil simply is. Of course, I think we'd all welcome a visceral new installment that got back to basics.
Yeah, just murder!
Yeah. Kind of funny that he says that. I've got to point out.
Why is it funny?
Because the next franchise on this list, that's at number three, actually just recently did that. The number three franchise, according to this writer on Bloody Disgusting, is Child's Play.
I was reading ahead, so I didn't know what you were talking about. Child's Play, Curse of Chucky, really does seem like it brings back to what the first one was like.
What he says, while none of the films in the Child's Play franchise come close to hitting the highs of the original Halloween or Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Don Mancini's enduring creation gets points for consistency. Even if you don't like the direction taken by Bride of Chucky or Seed of Chucky, you still feel like they're an admittedly weird extension of the original story. The newly released Curse of Chucky also carries some surprises in that department. Like it or not, the Child's Play films provide their villain with a complete journey, something that oddly satisfies me. And again, true. Everything's connected. One film to the next is connected, somehow. Part one is connected to two in that the body of Chucky, they scrape off and rebuild, and he gets resurrected. Two blends into three with the fact that the blood from Chucky's remains goes in and, you know, that's how his new body's born. Three goes into Curse because his body was mangled up after three and sewn back together in Bride. And then, and so forth. So I do like that fact, too. Number two on this list is A Nightmare on Elm Street. That series. Then he says, the same can be said for A Nightmare on Elm Street and its sequels. While the quality of the films, especially in terms of scares, begin to decline after Dream Warriors, and then the guy puts, hey, I liked Freddy's Revenge. Wow, the only person who liked Freddy's Revenge, by the way. That movie sucked.
I bet it has better Rotten Tomato ratings than any of Eddie Murphy's recent films.
Probably, but they still present a complete arc for Freddy. On top of that, they're not lazy about exploring the milieu of the dream world and the ability of Freddy and his victims within it. As horrible as Freddy's Dead was, it was preceded by five movies that all felt like it was part of a larger story that really worked towards developing whatever idea the universe offered. The first and third entries are legitimately great, with a case to be made for the second. No, no case is made for the second one. It was shit. Anyway, I digress. And the creativity of the two subsequent disappointments actually earns the franchise points as a whole. Not even the aforementioned Freddy's Dead or the widely hated 2010 remake can take that away. Alright. The number one franchise should not be a shock considering the ones we mentioned. But I'm going to say it again anyway. And holy shit ass. Friday the 13th. Perhaps the messiest franchise of them all, this one earns points for variety as well as its compelling history, legacy, and cultural impact. I'd argue that Jason Voorhees becomes the most famous modern slasher throughout the franchise's sheer force of will to survive, if not quality. Jason's journey is much more fractured than Freddy's or Chucky's, but it still breaks down to an interesting manner. You've got a good first film in which he's only alluded to, save for the end. Then parts 2 through 4 form an interesting living Jason semi-trilogy that traces our anti-hero's evolution from myth to actualized killer to dead special needs case. Then you've got the Tommy Jarvis trilogy, sharing parts 4 with a semi-trilogy. The continuity between all those films can be shoddy, but there's at least a narrative thrust here that I can get behind. After that, we've got a variety of almost standalone takes in the character that reward different camps with the overall fan base, culminating with Jason X.
Oh, God.
The series also gets points for unpredictability. It doesn't suffer the slow decline that most franchises do. While the original Friday the 13th might be the weakest first installment out of the series listed above, none of them had arguably their best moments six films in. Part 2 was great, the final chapter was even better, and Jason Lives, for me, is for me the best, and I would kind of agree with that. It also doesn't hurt that the 2009 remake is hardly better than the is handily better than the Chainsaw Halloween or Elm Street remakes. Bonus, you can throw in a Friday the 13th movie any old time. People can't say that about Halloween Resurrection or Freddy's Dead.
Yeah, pretty much you can throw on any of them. Even the worst ones, you can just toss them in.
Now, Here's some of my gripes. Two franchises that were snubbed, and like it says horror franchises, not slasher, all right? Two franchises that could have made the list over Halloween and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre just based on quality of film and continuity for the one. Those two franchises are the Evil Dead franchise, which...
Absolutely.
All three bleed into each other. They basically all, you know, the end of one or the end of the first act of part two bleed into the new story of part two. The end of part two bleeds into Army of Darkness. And even the remake, it's been insinuated, takes place in a different timeline than the original. And thus, they're going to be combined at some point if the movies, the next movies do well. So, that, and let's face it, the worst movie in that series, aside from the remake, is better than the first movies of a lot of these other franchises.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, the Evil Dead series has the best critical rating of any of them.
Oh, yeah, even Hellraiser. Even, like, I'm looking at that. Hellraiser, for me, besides Halloween, the original one, was one of only two horror movies that could really sort of slasher movies that could creep me out. And, but still, Evil Dead is always there.
Yeah, Evil, I'm looking at it now because I know that not only is Evil Dead very well rated, the first one might be in the 90s.
Huh?
Like, as far as,
oh yeah, first one is, I believe in the 90s. I believe so is the second one.
And Evil Dead and takes a drop, but
Army of Darkness is in the 80s.
Still really good. And even in its early release, it's mostly positive. Evil Dead 1 is a 98 on Rotten Tomatoes, which fantastic for a low-budget horror movie. Evil Dead 2 has also a 98. And both have an average rating of 8 out of 10. So they're both certified fresh. Army of Darkness,
89, right?
I believe so, but I'm going to check. A 71.
Oh, that's not bad.
Still, yeah. If you consider the third movies of a lot of the other franchises mentioned, not bad.
That is much better than how I finished up college.
Wow. Well, yeah, because you got fired from a radio show. And the remake is a 62%, which for modern horror is amazing.
Yeah.
So
it really is, because modern horror gets the most shit.
And then you look at the Romero Dead movies. Granted, after the third one, they start to get shittier. But Night of the Living Dead is considered one of the best movies around. It's got a 96. And it's a very essential movie.
Well, yeah, it's essential. It promoted the career of Bruce Campbell.
No, Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, Night of the Living Dead. Why did I heard Evil Dead right there. I was like,
Dawn of the Dead has a 94%.
Because that was an awesome film.
It was a fantastic one. And again, people, like, not just critics, people agree that the movies are great. Day of the Dead, let's see, it's got an 80%, which is the lowest, but still really good. And then let me go through Romero's ones first. We're not going to do the spotlight on Romero, but I'm just pointing out why this should be on there over the two. Land of the Dead was 74%. Granted, they're showing a downward trend, but what horror, you know, what movie?
I actually liked Land of the Dead.
Yeah, it had its moments.
I haven't seen Diary of the Dead or Survival of the Dead, but I saw Land of the Dead, and I thought it kind of made a complete story, you know, because you have Night of the Living Dead, where everything starts up. You have Dawn of the Dead, where it's right in the middle of the action.
Survival
you have
of the
Day of the Dead, which is where they're starting to think things out and figure things out. And you have Land of the Dead, where you see the end result of all of that work in the third one.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll even count Return of the Living Dead, which has an 89% approval rating. Because tech, like, for those who don't know, the Romero movies are his sequels to Night of the Living Dead. Everything, you know, Dawn of the Dead.
Then there's Return of the Living
Return
Dead.
Return of the Living Dead are John Russo's sequel. It's John Russo's sequel to Night of the Living Dead. And that was the battle that happened in court where, and I don't count the sequels to that as sequels to Night of the Living Dead because they don't have Russo's involvement.
To be fair, Return of the Living Dead isn't really a sequel either. That was
it
their...
Is. No, it is.
No, it is, but let me explain. A lot of people consider that its own separate series, number one.
Well, yeah, that's the...
But also, if you look at it, it doesn't portray itself as an actual sequel to the movie. What it says is, you've seen Night of the Living Dead, right? Yeah? Well, that shit actually happened, and it sort of is like a real world.
And that was Russo's... way of doing that, of making a sequel. That's the direction he wanted to do. So, I'm going to do another quick list, but those are two franchises I really think should be on the list over the first two that were on there. You could even make them, you know, but... another list I want to quickly go through is Pet Sematary. Not Pet Sematary, but five horror moments that ruined this person's childhood. One was Pet Sematary, the eye socket.
Oh, God.
Two was Toxic Avenger, Kid on the Bike, when the kid on the bike gets run over. Return of the Living Dead, More Brains, when it shows the zombies eating the brains of the paramedics. The opening kill in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. And Mohawk Bite on Lost Boys. I don't know why that's... on there, but whatever. We're going to shift gears, though. I have some trailers for us to watch. Ready for this one, Cornex?
But, you send me the link on Skype?
Yes, I am. I'm going to get to the first trailer, but... now, we do this from time to time. There's movies that have an interest, be it that we saw something or, you know, saw the movie or whatever. But, you know, we like to play trailers and see how we react to them. I'm going to post the links in chat, too. So, all right, Cornex, here's the first one. Just get it, you know, turn your volume down.
Or mute myself.
Don't mute your mic, though. All right, and here's the link if you guys want to watch along. Now, the first movie is, there was a movie a year or two ago called The Dead that was set in Africa. It was a great movie. The guy who played the lead wasn't that good as an actor, but great, great addition to the zombie genre. Beautiful location because it was shot in Africa. And I think the whole thing with the Ford brothers who direct it is they just make zombie movies in exotic locations, and it looks fantastic. Here's the trailer for The Dead 2, India.
Mr. Matthias, how did you come to India?
I'm an engineer. We left a contract. We built wind farms. Purest source of energy, you know? Opportunity of a lifetime.
He's driving around talking to the kid.
Maybe I was looking for a fresh start.
And macking it with some Indian girl.
Nicholas, I'm pregnant.
There, that's her telling him that
she's pregnant. There's something wrong!
And the outbreak is starting.
Nick!
So far, decent trailer, right?
Okay.
Pretty good effect.
I don't know what's happening. There's fighting outside.
Shani, where are you right now?
I'm at home.
Stay where you are. I'm coming for you. It may take me some time, but I'll get to you somehow. Something terrible is going on. People are being attacked. I think it's happening everywhere. Just stay indoors, lock yourself in. I'm coming for you. And for our baby.
You're never gonna see my daughter again!
Wesley Necker wants to know, when are they breaking into song and dance? Dude, he takes a fucking He does parachute ride.
I'm sorry for you. Okay, I'm sorry for all of this, but I can't take any passengers.
Passenger? I'm the best guy in India.
He gets a little kid slide kick. Yeah, as you can see, there's some intense scenes. He's like trying to debate whether to try to save him or let him die.
These things, I see their eyes. There is no soul.
Whatever happens, you must follow your heart.
So there's that one, The Dead 2.
I like the effects. I do think the father's really stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, you'll never see my daughter again. You're in the middle of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
You have better things to worry about.
Than whether the fact that that he knocked up your daughter.
And number two, I think every American father is just like, wait. He's trying to take responsibility for the kid. And you want him to stay away. Now, I can understand you want him to be away from your daughter, but you don't want him to take responsibility for his actions.
I'll give it a chance. I like the first one. All right. The second trailer that we're going to put in, that I'm going to do, it's a video game adaptation.
Uh-oh.
And it stars Aaron Paul.
Mm-hmm. He'd better be playing Luigi.
No. It's for Need for Speed.
I know. I was making a joke.
All right. So, here, you know, Aaron Paul, who, if you've been living under a rock, plays Jesse Pinkman. Here's the trailer for Need for Speed. This one's not as long as The Dead 2.
Oh, come on. Fucking ads.
That's why I said there was ads. That's why I can't. And this trailer, I'll give you a few seconds afterwards to, you know, but it's a very well done trailer.
For you are with me.
Although he does sound a little like Heisenberg when he talks in this trailer.
Shall be ashamed and disgraced.
Science, bitch!
Those who wage war against me. Find strength, find guidance, and I will triumph.
But you know what I mean, though? It's a very well-made trailer. And I'm sure they'll do fan service for the game, for the gamers who like the movie series, but it could be a very, very much a later Fast and the Furious movies type of series. Need for Speed, March 2014. So yeah, that one's out by Touchstone. I'll give Cornax a second to see the rest of it, because...
Yeah, because you couldn't wait.
Well, because I sent you the link. I figured you were going to do what I did, and while I was setting up, hit pause.
Punchy, there's an ad that I couldn't skip.
All right, well, I thought it said, is the trailer done yet?
Yes.
All right, what'd you
Looks
think?
Pretty cool.
It does look pretty cool, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, this next one is just, the name says it all.
Oh, God. What are you sending me?
The name just says it all on this one.
Is it All Superheroes Must Die?
No, but I got to find another version of the trailer because the one I found fucking featured just some motherfucker talking. All right, I'm going to send you the link for the trailer. Let me confirm that it is the trailer, and then I'll... but... Yeah, this is it. All right. This has the kind of ad where you can skip after 5 seconds.
All right.
Everyone?
No.
And I do need to get ad block. All right, the movie is called Big Ass Spider.
3, 2, 1, go!
PG-13. It says for sci-fi, violence, and gore, but I don't count this as a horror movie. I count it as a sci-fi. There's people running, smoke and fire. Every generation shooting has a defining moment. More shooting. But none of experience.
None of experience. A big ass spider. Jesus!
That's right, guys. A giant spider. Hornax, turn your volume down.
Spiders happen to be my specialty. I become a spider. To catch a spider.
But isn't this like the biggest spider ever? You could be super exterminator. So I'm gonna help you, and you know like how?
Oh, so they have two exterminators.
Helps a bad man. Okay, so what is the biggest spider ever?
It's 20 inches long and black.
Sounds funny.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
God.
This is so gross.
Oh, yeah? What?
Look this at is either going to be horrible or amazing.
This is, without question, the biggest spider on record.
Anything else?
Anything else?
Ask girl, man.
What?
Don't be scared.
I'm not scared. This thing's huge. Highly poisonous.
This is going to be amazing.
Aggressive, fast, smart, and strong. This is a big-ass spider.
If I see the spider, I'll fucking
ass. The black guy talking to the news.
God help us all.
This is just going to be fantastic. This is going to be fantastic in the cheesy B-movie way.
We're going to kill some spiders. We're going to kill some spiders dead.
West Echo, in every generation a slayer is born. Red Sox, from Green Bay, Wisconsin, Mr. Kennedy. Kennedy! So yeah, that was the big-ass spider trailer. I like it. I'll watch it.
I think this movie's going to be good because, number one, it's not taking itself seriously. It's not like every single sci-fi movie that's shit. It knows what it is. And number two, the sci-fi, the CGI, is actually pretty good. And it doesn't look like it was filmed with a crappy camera.
All right, this next trailer is a Red Band trailer. So you know it's going to be fantastic. This one, I'm going to put the link in chat too, and this has no ads, so I'm not going to wait as long as if the last one. It's for a movie with Clifton Collins Jr. called Hellbenders.
It's like Avatar, The Last Airbender, but with Spawn and Hellboy.
All right, we're going to start it in 3, 2, 1.
Go!
So, again, Red Band trailer. Those are always good.
Hey, that's mine.
Oh, that's cool. I'll get it back to you.
But it's mine.
Hey, you want to come down here and fucking do something about it?
Father.
I ain't your fucking dad.
And Clifton Collins Jr. is good. He's very underrated.
This is Clint. The bishop sent him.
What's good, Clint?
Let me understand this. You live a life of sin to get possessed and then kill yourself and literally drag the demon back to hell.
Exactly.
You must be looking for every opportunity for sin.
I'm sinning all the time. All I do is sin.
When's the last time you cheated on your wife?
11 months ago.
Boy, I had to pay for that one.
Exorcism call.
Christ compels him back into the pit!
Eggers?
Weinberg.
Did you summon a fucking demon?
What we do is send demons to hell no matter what the cost.
So, I used to know this chick, right?
Oh, shit!
What are you doing?
All right, this is
I'm
a very interesting trailer.
My knuckles for direct striking capabilities.
Are you the only sane one here?
Oh shit! An Orlando Jones sighting.
Had to find a Bible section.
King Collins James, Jr.
Motherfucker.
I will do everything to make sure that you're excommunicated by the Sabbath.
Can I borrow the Metro card?
Yeah, look, it's a monthly, so hang on to it, all right?
They just didn't give a shit what that guy said.
If I don't hear anything by dawn, we're going to have to call in SWAT team.
We're not out by dawn, burn the whole fucking building down.
If priests talk to them, talk to people like those two do in this trailer, I would suddenly become religious.
I did have a priest like that. And now he's the Monsignor of another church. He drove around on a motorcycle, and he had a decal that he would always change on his helmet where it was either the Cobra symbol or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle symbol.
Yeah, bitch, science.
And his office had G.I. Joes in it.
All right, another trailer.
And he swore like a motherfucker.
Which one doesn't sound bad? Are you talking about giant, big-ass spider, or are you talking about Hellbenders? All right, this next trailer, it's by Dario Argento. Horror fans will know who that is.
Oh, Jesus Christ, this can only mean insanity.
Dracula 3D.
Oh, shit.
You guys ready for this one? There's no ads. 3, 2, 1, go.
You must know what I am, Nosferatu.
It's a period piece.
How was your trip?
I am Count Dracula.
God, I command you, go back!
Rutger Hauer, motherfucker.
I think they could have had better fire effects.
Yeah.
It gives them extreme power.
It does have a cheesy, low-budget feel.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
It's a foreign horror movie about Dracula. What do we expect?
That doesn't work.
Say that again.
You that doesn't work. He is capable of. Work.
Yeah.
He is evil.
I mean, this is Dario Argento.
Evil.
He doesn't do like sort of cheesy effects. Like he would try to do like you know whatever happened, but he would make real horror films. And I would think, especially with a name like Dario Argento. Especially since this isn't supposed to be a cheesy film, the effects would be top of the line.
But oh, how the mighty have fallen! Now the guy who
plays
Dracula was in 24 as Max. He was Eli Damaskinos in Blade 2. He was in Downfall as Herman Fangelin. Timothy Kane in Resident Evil Apocalypse. Let's see. He's in the Bionic series show for one episode, the remake. He was in Valkyrie as Otto Ernst Reimer, for those who saw that one. And not much to people who would probably know. He plays a lot of German roles, but Rutger Hauer's in it again. Marta Gostini, who was in The Rite, R-I-T-E, and not much else. She's barely, I think she's newer because Asia Argento is in it. So there's that. Fantastically. Still has it at 37. Just saying.
Still has it at 37. Jesus, it's not like, that's not really that old.
You're all right, you know, but.
That's not like saying Raquel Welch still has it.
All right, listen, Snippy. one more, and then we go on to, well, wow, one more, and then we either choose between going overtime or just ending. But anyway.
Well, also, we do have a new weekly bit that we forgot to do.
Yeah, we did. You know what? We'll probably just, because then I'll have to edit it for podcasts and all that. We'll just stick it at going.
Well, I have a short one.
All right. Well,
relatively short. It's about Kenan and Kel get in trouble, this time with the Aryan Brotherhood.
You know what? I'd rather spend more time on that, so we'll just save it for next week.
Okay.
Western Echo, also kind of about Asia Argento. Also kind of trashy. Basically a Mersh girl. What's a Mersh? Anyway, here's the trailer. This trailer is for Grudge Match, which is a Warner Brothers movie starring Sylvester Stallone and Robert De Niro.
Certain athletes are born enemies, but the fiercest rivalry was between two fighters, Razor and Kid. They fought only twice, but the tie-breaking grudge match never happened.
Today I'm announcing my retirement from professional boxing.
You know what this is, Razor? It's a video years. Game. They want to put you and Kid in the game. All they do is videotape you throwing a couple punches, voice record you, I'm gonna kill you. Except in a white guy's voice, because they don't want to scare anybody.
Okay, Razor, let's throw some jabs.
Oh, Kevin Hart's me.
Come on, Razor. Imagine this kid.
Hey, I hope I don't look like that big of an ass.
Set me up.
I told you to come at 1 o'clock, kid. I
want to see my old friend. He's been ducking me for 30 years. I missed him.
I don't look like you're missing any meals. I'm out of here.
No, you're not.
Stop the behavior of old men.
Check out this clip that is just blowing up online.
I got a company that wants the official rematch. They're going to pay you $100,000.
Well, I can't be in the same room as that guy. Not worth it.
The hell you mean it ain't worth it? I'm looking at your house.
I'm your trainer, Mike.
You can't be my trainer. Maybe I believe you ate my trainer.
Time to train.
What have I done?
It's insane.
Oh, yeah? Give me one reason.
You're fat. You got weak knees. You're fat.
Don't sugarcoat it. Be honest.
You think I can talk to you for a second? I'm your son.
All right, that was one thing.
Use a little help.
Hey, what are you doing?
We're just here to buy a little dinner. You don't have to punch everything.
Oh, see, they have Stallone about to punch ribs.
A great
get
performer
it?
Knows when it's time to get off the stage, kid.
If one of you gets knocked out, is it safe to say you've fallen and you can't get up?
The whole world's laughing at us, but we're not dead. In fact, I feel more alive now than I ever felt.
Razor, why now?
I'm a fighter. I was born to be a fighter.
You got every right to hate me, but I need you in my corner.
No matter how.
Oh, is that Jay Barenthal playing his one of the sons or someone in there?
30 years after
holy
their
shit.
Second fight, Kid McDonough and Razor Sharp get ready to go at it again.
So essentially, we're just.
It's
given up. And we're having Sylvester Stallone
versus Robert De Niro.
I know.
Dump on your porch.
Alright, I guess.
Yes, we are live right now.
Hey, Webster, show a little respect.
Oh, Alan Arkin's in it too.
You just called me Webster because of my dictionary size vocabulary, not because of my height and race.
Nope, it's because you're short and black.
What was Jesus like? I'm curious. Was he cool?
I can get what they're going for because you have Raging Bull and Rocky. But I mean,
they
come on.
10 years ago, it would have been a better movie to make. But
well, no, there's also the fact of with all the Rocky references and stuff, this is essentially Stallone starring in a ripoff of not only the original Rocky, but the latest Rocky. Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, well, oh, man.
It's a mixture of the two for his character, and he's pretty much just.
I mean, I'll watch
there's
it.
There's typecasting, and then there is literally playing a parody of your own character.
I'll watch it because of the fact that, yeah, it's old Rocky and old Raging Bull stepping in the ring, and it's got John Barenthal, who, for those who don't know, was Shane on The Walking Dead. But, with that said, not going to have high expectations. Not at all.
Dude, there's a part of me that sees them trying to... If they went even more out of their way to be ridiculous, this could essentially be... Well, it'd be Ricky 1. And I know you don't know that what that is, probably, but it was essentially the airplane of Rocky.
Oh, boy.
And that's why I think if they went even more over the top, that's what it could be. And but then again, Ricky 1 kind of sucked.
Yeah.
You've seen it?
Ricky 1?
Yeah.
No, which one's that again?
It's basically the airplane equivalent to Rocky. Except worse.
Ooh. No, I haven't seen that. Oh, boy. And to answer Western Echo's question, Rambo, as far as Stallone knows, he wants to do another one. Like, he's not, and he hasn't ended it yet, like he did Rocky. But,
he hasn't ended Rocky either.
No, he's ended Rocky, but...
No, I'm referring to this film when I say that.
Well, he's ended the character Rocky Balboa, but he's doing another boxing movie.
Really? Because if you look at that movie, I don't think he did.
The character, no. He looks like Rocky because he's still on HGH.
No, Punchy, I'm pointing out that the character is pretty much, like I said, a combination of Rocky from the first film and Rocky from the last film.
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying. I'm just saying. He does, yeah, this seems like a... It's like a comedic version of Rocky.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be decent. More than likely, it'll suck. I'll probably watch it if there's nothing better in the movies at that time. It comes out Christmas this year. Just, you know, because De Niro and, you know, it's cool. I have weird reasons of going to see certain things, like going to Riff Tracks Live, which, Western Echo, I hope you're going to that. Because it's going to be awesome. Riff Tracks Live, Night of the Living Dead, October 24th. It's playing in every state, in a theater in every state. If you go to the Fathom Events site, they're going to put that on there. And yes, I'm just killing time with this spiel.
Well, you shouldn't be, because it's 1 a.m.
Yeah, good point. Anyway, go see it. We are plugs. Heel Punchy. I'm sorry, I'll go first, and then I'll let you go. Sorry, I Kanye'd you. At Heel Punchy. Brainstew Radio, Fridays, 8 till this show, and then this show. 360 on 420, Saturdays, and holy shit, I'm having a brain fart. Sundays and Thursdays from midnight to 3 a.m. Also, you sometimes can hear me on the Sully Show, Sundays at noon. Sometimes, when Sully wants me on, basically, when everyone else can't do it, I'm the fill-in. And Markout Radio, I'm pretty much a full-time cast member of that show too. Wednesdays, 11 till 1. Also, my podcast, By The Way Podcast.podomatic.com, where you'll see me testing out doing solo radio and doing interviews, because I decided I wanted to get better at those aspects. Cornax, take it away with your plugs.
At Cornax357, and I just do this. Nerd Hours, Friday to 11, from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Saturday morning.
Yeah, and tinyurl.com/NarkZito. Again, this has been the Nerd Hour. Thank you guys very much for listening.